Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve, He made them in His own image and likeness, which means, as we just discussed in Bible class, that He made them with true knowledge of Him and with true righteousness and holiness like His. One of the key components of that righteousness with which God created Adam and Eve is love. And one of the most basic traits of love is that it focuses outward, away from oneself. Love focuses first on God, who He is, what He has done, what He thinks, what He has said, what He wants to be done. And love focuses, second, on the neighbor, what he or she needs, what would benefit him or her. That doesn't mean we're to have no concern at all for ourselves. After all, the law of God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the focus is outward, toward God first and toward the neighbor second, so that we spend very little time thinking about me, what I think, what I want, what I'm suffering, or what I might suffer if I serve God and my neighbor. Love doesn't waste time dwelling on how great I am or on what a failure I am. It doesn't have time to dwell on those things. There are too many people around us to focus on. First, what does God say? And then what would help the people around me? These are the questions God would have us focus on. To live like that is to live in love, which is also to live in humility. That's how God made us to be. But since the fall into sin, it isn't who we are by nature. One of the main effects of sin on our race is that it has taken that outward focus and turned it inward, curved it inward, so that by nature we spend most of our time worrying about what I think, what I believe, what I want, what I need, what I'm suffering, what I'm going through, how great I am, or how worthless I am. I think I've told you before that one of my teachers used to call this navel gazing, staring at your belly button with an inward curve and focus in your life. We're all prone to it. It's one of the characteristics of sinners, in fact. But Jesus wasn't a sinner, wasn't prone to navel gazing. His focus was always outward, toward His Father in heaven and toward the rest of humanity, whom He came to save at great cost to Himself. He shows us in today's gospel the importance of an outward focus for God's people. It was a Sabbath day. Jesus had been invited to a meal at the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were notoriously inward focused. How obedient they were. How much godlier they were than anybody else out there. There was a sick man present, a man who had dropsy. Jesus planned to heal him, but first He wanted to guide the Pharisees and the other guests to understand this outward focus. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He asked them. They remained silent, not a word. They didn't turn first to God to see what He said about it in His Word. If they had, they would have realized that God never forbade helping your neighbor on the Sabbath day. But they had turned inward toward themselves with regard to the Sabbath, made up their own laws regarding healing and other things on the Sabbath. They made the Sabbath to be about themselves, their obedience to God's commandment to rest on that day. They didn't want to see anyone else healed or helped on the Sabbath day. But they couldn't come right out and say it that crassly, or they would have looked just as self-centered as they actually were. So they remained silent. Jesus healed the man and let him go. Then he asked them, "Which of you, if you had a donkey or an ox fall into a pit, would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they were unable to answer him regarding these things. Of course, all of them, to a man, would have helped their donkey or their ox if it had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath day. They would have pulled it out and done that work. But again, they couldn't just admit that, because it would show that they had more concern for their own animal than they did for their fellow Israelite who was suffering. The fact is, God made the Sabbath day to emphasize this outward focus on God and on His Word, and then on the neighbor. The Sabbath rest in the Old Testament law was not designed so that the Israelites could look at themselves doing the good work of resting, could focus on themselves obeying the commandment, but focus rather on their workers who needed a break, on their family members who needed a break from work, even on their animals who needed rest. My neighbor needs rest. My animals need rest. God's word must be heard. The ministry must be used. The needy must be helped. Every other day, the focus, by necessity perhaps, was more about my work, my chores, my needs. But one day a week, they were to focus exclusively on God's word and on their neighbor's need. So not only did the law permit healing on the Sabbath day, it actually required it, if healing were in your power. So Jesus' kindness and compassion for the man with dropsy shows us what true, humble, outward-focused love toward the neighbor looks like. And at the same time, it highlighted the self-centeredness and inward focus of the Pharisees. Then we come to the second part of our gospel. At the same meal, Jesus noticed how the guests chose the best places for themselves at the table. In their culture, the seating arrangement at a banquet said something about how important and honored or unimportant a guest was. And all these guests seemed to think of themselves as more important than the rest, as deserving the best spot available. Again, focused inward on their own importance. But where should they have been focused? Well, on the one who invited them. Gratitude toward the host for inviting them at all, and deference to the host's decision about where each guest should sit. He's the one you should be focused on. And in the parable, Jesus then told, since God is the host of the heavenly banquet and the king of His kingdom, which is the Holy Christian Church, He will determine where each one belongs with regard to honor or importance. And Jesus tells us here what pleases Him and what displeases Him. It displeases God when we exalt ourselves, when we raise ourselves up in His presence, when we put ourselves ahead of others, when we make ourselves the judge of ourselves. "Leave that to me," He says. "Leave it to me to decide. Let me be the judge, because I am the judge. And I determine where each one belongs. As for you, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when He who invited you comes, He may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.'" How do you choose the lowest place before God? You admit, as you did in the confession of sins, that you are a poor, miserable sinner who has justly deserved God's wrath and punishment. That means you admit you're no more worthy of His grace and mercy than anyone else. In fact, you see yourself as the chief of sinners. That goes contrary to what our sinful nature wants. The most natural thing is to choose a place, if not at the highest, then in the middle. No, I'm not the most deserving person out there, but surely I'm not the least deserving person out there. I'll take a place in the middle. But that's wrong, Jesus says. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And He doesn't just mean to the highest place, He means to a middle place. He says, take the lowest place. Admit before God and man that you are the least deserving because you haven't maintained that outward focus toward God and toward your neighbor that God demands. Not even close. You've spent more than a little time focused first and foremost on what you need, how you've been treated, how you're suffering, what you deserve, how great you are, or how wretched you are. It's time to let God be the judge. And that means lowering yourself all the way down to the bottom of the heap before Him. For those who do, Jesus makes an amazing promise. He who humbles himself will be exalted. There are no ifs or maybes about that promise. Admit your unworthiness before God. Confess your curved inward focus. Look to God, not for recognition of how worthy you are, but only for His mercy in Christ Jesus. And God will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will forgive you your sins and give you a place of honor in His kingdom, a good place, the right place, a place of His choosing, a place with Him. And He'll do all this because Jesus, your substitute, maintained His outward focus on God and His neighbor for you, in your place. He maintained it all the way through Holy Week and up to the cross, never flinching, never complaining. What about me? What about what I deserve? It was all, every moment of it, every drop of blood spent yearning to fulfill His Father's will, yearning to earn mankind's salvation. As a believer, as a new person in Christ, that is the example you have also been called to imitate. As Paul said in the epistle today, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There it is, the outward focus on our neighbor, and especially on our fellow Christian. It's hard not to worry about yourself first. It's hard not to focus on your own successes or your own failures. It's hard to look up away from your belly button. But God right now is gently lifting up your head to stop worrying about yourself, to stop complaining, to stop seeing the people around you, your family, your church, your neighbor, and to start looking at them. And He lifts your head even higher to see Him and to know that Christ, your Savior, your God, and your Father, is not focused on Himself at all, but on you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. You focused on Him, He focused on you, with the promise to raise you up and give you all that you need. What need do you have then to focus on yourself? Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.